Blog Talk Radio.
So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is the Mr. Media Interview, recorded live on blogtalkradio.com from the new media and American League Baseball, capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. These are days when the rules are being rewritten by the hour, a time when the old ways seem quaint and antiquated, a period in history when perhaps we can no longer rely upon history to guide the future. And just when we're starting to sort things out, our first African-American president, the worst economic crisis since the Great Depression, and deep fears that we may eat lunch this week, but maybe not next week, leave it to the New York Post and Rush Limbaugh to help us spot the fine line between criticism and hate. Limbaugh couldn't wait until Barack Obama had warmed up his new chair in the Oval Office to say he hopes the new president fails. At least we all know where he stands, as if there were any doubt. And the New York Post publishes a cartoon in which the police shoot a monkey and one of the cops says they'll have to find someone else to write the next stimulus bill. Shortly after that cartoon ran, I received an email from Tim Jackson, editorial cartoonist for the Chicago Defender newspaper. He wanted to know why, when all the pundits were weighing in on the post-monkey cartoon, no one solicited the opinion of America's core of African-American editorial cartoonists. I thought he made a good point. So, with the help of Mr. Jackson, I have invited a number of these cartoonists to join us in a roundtable discussion tonight. In addition to Tim, joining us on the phone shortly will be David G. Brown, cartoonist for the Los Angeles Sentinel, Ron Rogers at the South Bend Tribune, Barbara Brandon Croft, and I'm afraid I may need help with this name, but I apologize in advance, Dr. Yaounde Olu. And first, I'd like to bring Tim into the show and welcome him first, since he's kind of the ringleader here, got me involved. Tim, welcome to Mr. Media.
Hello, thank you for having me.
How are you?
I'm doing fine. It's a nice warm day here in Chicago.
I think we've got an interesting program ahead of us here, thanks to you. Tell our audience first a little bit about what you do and why this was an important issue for you.
Well, I am a cartoonist first, and secondly, I'm an editorial cartoonist for the Chicago Defender newspaper. And on a daily basis, I am creating social commentary and political cartoons on the various issues that take place around us and, in our nation, around the world. And I'm also a member of the American Association of Editorial Cartoonists. And I've been watching debate going back and forth about the cartoon. And I've been reading articles where all the different cartoonists have been asked what they thought and so forth, but, no one asked me or any other African-American cartoonist that I'm aware of, so I thought I'd ask that question.
Hmm. Well, and you know how I felt immediately. I said, yeah, let's put something together, because I thought it was a great point. I mean, if you're gonna have an opinion on this and you're a pundit or you're leading a group of pundits, gosh, of all the people you would want to have on, wouldn't it be, an African-American cartoonist, editorial cartoonist at that? So let me thank you for that. Let me bring on Barbara Brandon Croft. Got a lot of phone lines here.
Yes.
Did
hello,
I?
Barbara.
Hey, Barbara, yes. Welcome.
Thank you.
And Barbara, tell us a little bit about what you do and where you fit into this.
Okay. I am also a cartoonist. I had a syndicated comic strip with Universal Press Syndicate for 13 years and actually became the first woman to be a black woman to be nationally syndicated in mainstream press. So I'm very proud of that accomplishment. And I'm very glad to be included in this because if we need to talk about, and we do need to talk about the New York Post and putting out comic strips like, a cartoon like that, and why it is so inappropriate and what is so, you know, atrocious about it.
Hmm. What was the name of the strip that you did for Universal?
For Universal Press, I did Where I'm Coming From, and it ran in its heyday. I was in 65 papers across the nation and also in South Africa. So
wow.
I'm very proud of that accomplishment.
Just out of curiosity, when was that?
The syndicate started me in 1990, and I went through 2003.
Well, I will have a surprise for you. We overlapped at Universal Press Syndicate.
Hey, really?
Yes, indeed. Mr. Media started as a weekly syndicated column that Universal distributed from, 94 to 98.
Well, there you have it. So you are friends with Lee Salem.
Lee Salem was one of the first guests on Mr. Media two years ago. Yep.
Oh, that's excellent. I'm very fond of Lee Salem, and he's the one who, you know, believed in me and put me on the map.
Wow.
Yeah.
But it's a very small world.
It is.
Well, let me extend our conversation now to Dr. Olu. I'm going to go with safety there. I'm going to go with Dr. Olu. Wait a minute. Who did I just bring on here? Okay. Who did I just bring into the call? I don't know. Who, let me see. Dr. Olu, are you there?
Uh-oh.
Oh, what did I do? Oh, wait a minute. I know what happened here. Wait a minute. Dr. Olu, now I bet you're there.
Yes.
Oh, hi, welcome to Mr. Media.
Yes, I'm glad to be here. Hi, Tim. You pronounced my name very well, by the way.
Oh, did I really?
Yonde Olu. Yes, you did.
Wow. I'm gonna stick with Dr. Olu.
Okay.
Now, where do you fit into all this?
Well, I work for the Chicago and Gary Crusader newspapers, and I've been working. It's a week. They're weekly papers, and I've been in the editorial cartoonist since 1980 for both of those papers.
Wow.
And so I do commentary on a weekly basis on all types of things, and this issue was one that touched my heart, certainly, and of course I did something on that as well.
Very good. And
Barbara Brandon, I'm a fan of yours from way back.
Oh, I'm so thank you. I'm very grateful, and I'm glad that we've got another woman with a voice out there. I'm so glad you've been out there since 1980. That's great.
Yes.
So you guys have not met before?
No, I'm very happy to be a part of this forum because I don't know everybody. Yeah, I know
wow,
Tim,
Tim is really good for bringing people together.
He's
been very good with that.
This is great. Well, and I believe, and I'm not sure, but I believe on this line we're going to find Ron Rogers from the South Bend Tribune. Is that you, Ron?
That's me. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Ron.
Delighted to have you here.
Hey. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Ron.
Hey, how are you?
Ron, I'm saying hi, too. We haven't met, but hi, it's Barbara.
Hey, hi, Barbara. I'm familiar with your work.
Well, thank you.
And it's good to hear the doctor again. We were on a panel this past summer up in Chicago.
Right. Sure. Yeah. You're exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
And Ron, what do you do at the South Bend Tribune?
I am the editorial cartoonist here at the South Bend Tribune. I'm the first, cartoonist that they've ever hired on staff. I'm probably only a black, full, working on a daily, drawing cartoons every day for what you call a mainstream newspaper. Which is kind of sad, I think, that I'm the only one so far.
That's a double blade, you know. It's like it's sad, but it's happy, you know.
Yeah, it's sad. Yeah, it's happy. Yes.
Yeah.
Actually, I know Carlos Gary, who had been with the St. Petersburg Times up until about 6 months ago, was a cartoonist on staff there, and also does two daily strips. He does Cafe Con Leche and
Working It Out.
Okay, so, I'm sorry?
I think it's Working It Out.
Working It Out, yes. One is Working It Out is a panel, and Cafe Con Leche is a strip. And he was a staff cartoonist for a while, and then got let go just at the beginning of the crest of all the problems with the newspapers. So, but I mean, great to have everybody here, and I guess we can get right into it. I want to say we have a big audience in the web chat already, and I want to tell people there that if you're listening and you've found our web chat, welcome, and you are certainly welcome to write in questions in the web chat, and then I will feed to the panel. And if you'd like to call in, we have one available line, and I'll be happy to get in some phone calls as well. Give us a call at 1-646-595-3135. I guess we should jump in and talk about this New York Post cartoon. Some time has passed. It's been about 2 weeks, I guess. A lot of the media has, of course, moved on to other things. But
to your credit, I'm glad we're still talking about it because it's still, you know,
yeah.
To your credit, it shouldn't just go by and, you know, be past news.
Why was it so important? What I would ask as we go along is that each of you just identify yourself when you start talking so everyone can follow who's talking.
Sure.
Okay, this is Dr. Olu. I'd like to make a comment about that.
Sure.
Why is it important? Just put it in this perspective. Imagine, if you would, that it were George W. Bush. It would be during George W. Bush's time. And someone had depicted him, for example, as a cave person being clubbed to death. What do you think the outrage would be?
I don't know.
What I'm trying to say, basically, is something like that would not have happened during the George Bush administration. The fact that you could have a sitting president and allude to a sitting president or however you look at it, see him as being him or his people being shot, you know, dead, and depicted as a monkey. I mean, something like that just would not have happened in any other administration that I could think of.
Yeah, I'm gonna ask you a question because I actually I was talking to someone about this earlier. I was saying that we were going to do the show tonight, and they said to me, "Well, they did not sympathize at all with the New York Post cartoon or the artist and the intention there." He said the only thing that's not quite right in this discussion is that George Bush was actually depicted as a monkey. Quite often, and I said, I don't remember that. So he told me
he was actually.
Go ahead, you.
Yeah, that's true.
But was he dead? But was it?
No. That's the big difference. I just wanted to make that clear. And I put in the web chat this. He said to me, go and just Google the words George Bush and chimpanzee. And I thought, all right. So I was doing that while we were just talking, and sure enough, there's a site that has a series of pictures. It's bushorchimp.com. It's really. I'm sorry. I'm laughing because it just makes me laugh. It's all these pictures of George Bush side by side with chimps.
Yeah.
Not all chimps, but that look
Barbara
just
here
like him.
It's Barbara here.
Yeah.
Who wants to make a comment? If you don't mind.
Please.
It's totally different to compare George Bush to a chimp and to compare Mr. Obama to a chimp, and if you're aware of the history of what happens when, for black folks in this country, and the history of how we have been depicted as beast, part ape, it's particularly the fact that this cartoonist chose to use chimpanzee. Although, I live in New York. I know that it was a news story. There was a chimpanzee that did attack a woman, unfortunately, and she's in, you know, dire condition to this day. But they chose a chimpanzee. Had that been a woman who went to, you know, visit her friend and there was a tiger, say, or some kind of bobcat or something that attacked the friend, they would not have a cop shooting a tiger. You know what I'm saying? It's specifically the fact that they used a chimpanzee and to depict Mr. Obama that is the problem. If they don't understand that that is an insult and that is, you know, perpetuating this whole idea that they're, for some way, reason or how, black folks come from the, you know, apes is insane. And the fact that the cartoonist did it was unthinkable. I mean, you know, there are things that are funny, you know, you can, there are things that we may think, all of us, because we have a sense of humor anyway, there are things that we all find funny that we would not extend beyond a certain circle of friends. Okay, if the cartoonist decided that that was an okay thing to do, but then the editor thought it was okay to do,
right?
And then the publisher decided that that was okay to print, that's insane that folks in this day and age, after 400 years, don't understand that you make a connection with an ape, a primate, that's the word I was trying to think of, a primate, and our president, who happens to be black, is inexcusable. It's just not right.
You know, and this is Dr. Olu, just one more time. I agree with you on that. But to me, the most egregious aspect of the whole situation is the fact that he was shot dead. To me,
and
that
indeed.
Is very, very sinister. It sends a very, very negative message.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, the cartoon that I did on it, I had a picture of a chimpanzee holding up the newspaper saying, somebody ought to alert the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals.
mm-hmm.
That was mine. I tried to take it in a different direction, but anyway.
Right.
Ron Rogers, I agree with both of the ladies. They hit it on the nail. First of all, I wouldn't have drawn a cartoon on an incident like that. It was a horrible incident. The lady had her face just about ripped off.
Right.
You know, I wouldn't have gone near anything like that personally.
Right.
And I agree that here at the Tribune, there's no way that a cartoon like that in a sketch form, it wouldn't have. You know what I mean? It wouldn't have gotten very far.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we have a process and stuff like that. But then again, you know, I think it's a problem too with the cartoonists too. There's a lack of sensitivity or something like that. And then when there's criticism, it seems to be circle the wagons type mentality, especially with a lot of other cartoonists. Is that you know you're trying to sort of like suppress his freedom of speech or something like that. And in our jobs, we have to be sort of like police ourselves a little bit about things like this.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah, this is Tim Jacksoning. I was going to mention, well, my take on the situation is if it was a situation that it was considered something anti-Semitic, Jewish groups would have been all over it in a moment.
Ooh,
but
right.
When African Americans do the same thing, oh, you're being too sensitive. It didn't mean that.
Right.
And that's really frustrating to me to keep hearing this change. I think that as any group in America, we have a right to try to protect how we're depicted or thought of. And it really disturbs me when everybody jumps on the First Amendment, right? I think, yeah, the guy has a right to draw whatever he wants. But there's a fine line between what he drew and how it became.
Absolutely. It's Barbara again. Can I say something else?
Yes, please.
What I wanted to say was I totally agree. I totally agree with Tim. This cartoonist is clearly a better illustrator than he is a cartoonist. You do have to. There's something called responsibility, you know, that comes with having all this. You have an audience. Now you have an audience. You need to be responsible about what you put out there. You need to be able to do things that are not going to offend, that are not going to offend so deeply. I mean, like as I've been trying to say, there's sometimes you've heard people say jokes that you can hear in a small crowd or maybe one other person that you think that can go by, but you're not going to do it in a something like this. This is just the New York Post, for Pete's sake. You know, I mean, of course, I live in New York, so it's like, I don't buy the Post. They can't give me the Post. Sometimes they're on the street, and they're like, free Post, free Post. I'm like, you can keep your Post. I'm not going to take your Post, because I'm aware. And this, you know, half behind apology, in my opinion, means nothing. But what I really, the point that I was really wanted to make is that it warms my heart to see history repeating itself in this way. That back in the day, when blacks were depicted as, you know, here we are, just this disfigured, these disfigured people, totally inked in, you know, just totally black and, you know, disfigured faces, and everybody looked the same. Didn't the NAACP stand up and say, okay, you guys have got to stop. You got to stop doing this. And once again, they stood up. And I think that warms my heart, because being a cartoonist, and, you know, there's so many people that say, oh, you're a cartoonist. Oh, you do children's stuff. I was like, actually, I don't. I do more adult things. But the idea that they stood up and said, collectively, you know, we have got to stop this. This is no good. You know, we have to make a point here that you cannot do this, Mr. Murdoch. This is wrong. You don't do this. It's inappropriate, and you don't do it, especially when we're trying to change. You know, we're trying to take things to the next level, and, you know, Mr. Obama is doing everything he can, and he's doing a wonderful job at trying to lift us. You know, we can't have this crap.
Yeah, I want to.
I just want to step in for a second. Two things I was going to say. We've got a couple calls waiting, so I want them to know that I know that you're there. 719 and 310. We'll get to you in just a second. Please stand on the line. Two things that struck me about the Post situation. One is, I agree with you that it's amazing that worked its way up the line. I mean, you know that different newspapers have different perspectives and different political stands, and certainly it's been no secret that the Post is very conservative, very right-wing, and, of course, very sensationalistic at the same time.
Exactly.
But, you know, I thought that was very interesting, and, you know, it was amazing that it went all the way up. On the other hand, I would think that one of the positives here is it's kind of like the comment about that I used from Rush Limbaugh. At least you know where these people stand on things, okay? You're not going to – you know that you know, I don't want to label anyone anything, but you pretty much know what their perspective on the president, his race, and the other thing I thought was interesting is maybe they don't feel that they have any African American readers there in the city of New York, you know, and so they felt empowered to just you know, make light. I want to get we've got a caller here who's been waiting quite a while, so I want to get him or her on. Hi, did you have a comment or a question for the panel?
Hello.
Hi, you're on. Yep, go ahead.
Hey, I just want to say that some black, 49 years old, I reside in the nation's capital. I'm like, man, I can't believe it, man. Y'all act, not y'all, I'm a citizen. I don't know who anybody's race online, but it sounds like we got some black people online. I mean, I don't understand. Are y'all surprised? I mean, come on, people. Lord, Jesus Christ. You thought Obama was going to sail up in there and had no problem? This actually is no big deal, really. Well, regardless, I don't care. It was in the Washington Post, New York Post. Let me tell you, I read them all, but I don't pay for none of them. You know, in fact, I listen to the adversary. Look, when white people tell you they don't like you, don't get your panties in a bunch, people. Okay? I mean, look, do you understand that Obama only had about 49% of the white vote? I mean, half didn't like him, half did, kind of thing. Is this what it was? No landslide? Okay, the change thing. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I would like to comment about that. I think the most important about the...
I'm
Hello?
Sorry. Yeah, I'm here.
Yes, the most important thing, in my opinion, about this is the fact that the sanctioning of violence against the image. I can't think of anywhere in any cartoon that's connected with a sitting president where... It was sanctioned that it was shot dead.
We've never. I understand what you're saying. I understand.
I mean,
we've never had a sitting president. No, but we never had a black president. Man, we still live in America. Do you understand? Most white folks really don't like us still.
Yes,
do
we have to accept that and let
you
it go.
I'm sorry.
Can I answer that?
Tim Jackson. This is Tim Jackson. Do we have to accept that and just let it go?
Can I answer that now? Are y'all ready for this? Like I said, I'm only 49. I'm not the smartest person, except that, let me tell you something. We can hoop and holler all we want to, but the white man at least know we ain't. Come on, people. I've been around them all my life. We have very little say, and we have no power. Actually, we do, but we have no cohesiveness as a group. They know we dysfunctional. We don't know how to ins and outs, most of us, of the white man's system. So what, you don't buy their paper?
Okay, but just think of the fact that right now we're airing our grievances.
Yes.
You're speaking with a panel of African-American artists, and our host is not African-American, correct? Mr. Media?
I thought he sound white to me, Yeah.
So all I'm saying is that, you know, basically the chosen few choose themselves, and I think that whenever we have situations like this, I think it's important for us to respond, which is what we're doing.
Uh-huh.
Which is why we're.
I tell you what.
Yeah.
While y'all responding that, let me ask you this: how many executive orders has Obama passed, and can you name some of them? Just do a homework before we get all that old sidetrack bull. I'm telling you, people. Regardless of the color of the president, if you really want to follow some stuff, okay, and you like the Democratic president, I'm a Democrat too. Then let's really get into the nuts and bolts and something. Let's really understand this thing. They wanted you to get sidetracked. Here we are talking about this stupid stuff and stuff about what's really going on. Now, I'm not knocking your show, but Lord, get ready for some more of it now.
Okay.
That was just a tip.
Hey,
I mean,
hey.
It's all about money. It's all about money.
It's all about money.
This is Barbara, we are answering that test so we can be ready to let them know that we'll be there to say something.
Sir, it doesn't matter what you say.
Excuse me a second. Listen. Huh? We're aware about what you're talking about.
Right.
But you got to understand something else also, that media carries a lot of weight.
Sir, come on, talk to me real. This is me. This is a real show. This ain't no NBC bully going to cut me off. Sir, if you really want some change, you really would like them to stop doing that, wouldn't you? That'd be your ultimate goal, right? Let's work together. Now, if you really want to do it, just pretend we all white folks. What would white folks do when they mad at other white folks like this? What do they do? Listen to me like I said again. If you're really mad, just pretend that you're white and do what white folks do when other white folks make them mad. And then that's what you do. See how much money you got to do it with, though. Goodbye.
That's interesting. I respectfully listen to my brother talking from D.C. My family's from D.C. I am from D.C. This is Barbara talking. I respectfully hear what he's saying. But I also want to make the point that if we continue to let things like this happen, maybe we shouldn't make a big deal. In his mind and in other people's minds, maybe we shouldn't make a big deal. In my opinion, I think we should. I think we should call people out when they're not doing the right thing. I think we need to lift people up into some other greater place.
I agree with Barbara. And there have been, I don't know if you all are aware, but Tim is aware, there have been other cartoons that have been questionable, that have been floating around, and that have come under some criticism.
Yeah.
And it has the racial, edge to it.
Mm-hmm.
And every time somebody calls these cartoonists out on them, they're sort of like a mentality by some cartoonists to sort of like defend these people. And I have a big problem with that because there were articles floating around, I think, about cartoonists are having a problem drawing Obama. Well, gosh, they drew Obama right through the primaries. And right up through the election, there wasn't really a big deal. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I just I understand what the guy from D.C. is saying. Look, we're all adults. We've all been around also. We know that things are not going to change that much, right? But we also know that everybody's not going to accept Obama.
I can't say that things are not. This is Dr. Olu again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not convinced that things are not going to change. I think that as human beings, we evolve. I think we're in an evolutionary process. I think the very fact that we have an African-American president today says that we have grown immensely in the last 50 years.
Hello.
That does not mean that 100% of racism has been eradicated. Not at all. but I do think that we are growing, and I'm optimistic. I think that ultimately it'll get even better. And I think
agree.
What's important, though, is that when we receive a response, or when something happens, we need to respond to it. You know, if we don't respond to it, things continue to happen. So I think that if people, for example, you said that no one, Tim, we know that they didn't ask many African-American cartoonists. That's because they probably don't know that we exist. And the very fact that we're having an opportunity to express our views will make people sit up and take notice the next time, I think.
There you go.
Yeah. This is Tim Jackson. I am amazed still that there are still a number of cartoons being drawn that shows Obama in the position of being this gangster holding a gun on somebody.
Right.
I just saw a cartoon recently where Obama's holding up this guy and there's a police standing behind him with a gun in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately in the second panel, the police is shooting the guy Obama was holding up for complaining. The policeman was marked media. But it just amazes me that even after this post cartoon, somebody still had to get that gun in there, point it in the direction of Obama.
And that's scary. That's the scary part of all of this. The media is powerful.
Well,
let me
Ron here. But there was also a similar cartoon in the Asheville paper with Obama pointing a gun at a person.
Guys, let me step in for a minute. It's good old Mr. Media. I want to let you know that David G. Brown has joined the conversation. He's been very patient. I want to get him in here. David, you're out there, aren't you?
I'm out here. How you doing?
Hey, David.
Hi, Barbara and Tim. And who else is there? Sean?
Okay.
Dr. Olu?
Dr. Olu. Dr. Olu and Ron Rogers.
I'm in Los Angeles. I work for the Los Angeles Sentinel newspaper. And I'm not sure exactly what you covered up to this point, but I know one of the things that disturbed me about the cartoon is the history of comparing African Americans to monkeys and chimpanzees. And additionally, the relationship with the police department and African Americans in New York. I mean, I think both of those are red flags,
right,
perpetuating, you know, these perceptions. And going back to, I know that I got a chance to hear the brother from D.C. about in terms of we're complaining, but I think that if we don't say anything, then that becomes our perception. If we don't say anything, then people are going to accept that.
Right.
I mean, just like some people still think that. Some people still think that.
Across loud and clear. I'm just saying that if we said nothing, that's too loud and clear. You know what I mean? It's like we need to say something.
I mean, there was near the end of the, you know, the primary, you know, a lot of whites still thought Barack was a Muslim. I mean, so if you don't say anything, there's a people. The media is very powerful, and people won't accept the images and the perceptions that are put out there.
You know what, about that, though, this is Dr. Olu again. I think that there's a lot of irrationality out there because how could so many people think that Obama was a Muslim when there was this big flap around his minister, Reverend Jeremiah Wright?
Right.
Remember that?
Yes.
Absolutely.
A lot of what's happening is irrational.
Yeah,
and I think it's what's happening is that we're witnessing the last throes of the those who are, you know, backward individuals, the laggards, who don't want to let go of how things used to be.
Right.
So, you know, they say it's always darkest before the dawn. So they're kicking and screaming. They don't want to come into the newer age. I just hope that we continue to have our voices heard, so that we can respond and so that we can offset a lot of this really, really negative stuff. And like I said, my biggest concern is the violence. First of all, the sanctioned violence, period. And then secondly, the sanctioned violence against a sitting president. And like I said, you can't think of any other president who's been in office who has been shot and in a mainstream publication in that kind of way. No one.
No, I have to speak up here. This is Tim. a few years back, a cartoonist by the name of Michael Ramirez did a drawing that he was recreating a famous Vietnam-era illustration of a guy being shot in the head. And he did this with George Bush.
Oh.
With the gun pointed at his head. And I guess he's a conservative cartoonist. In his mind, he felt that, you know, the Congress and others were forcing George Bush into this position.
Oh,
however,
well,
nobody saw it that way.
Well,
they attacked him.
However,
that goes back to what we were saying before. If nobody says anything, people will think, well, this is okay then.
Right.
Okay. Well, I stand corrected on that.
Is it fair at all to point out that for the last 8 years, the ignorant white president was ridiculed up and down as a cartoon character? I can't remember if he was the feather or the empty helmet in Doonesbury.
Empty
helmet, and his father was the feather, I guess.
Yeah.
So, you know, if nothing, and I'd make no comparison to the post cartoon shooting, you know, the monkey, because I mean it's different. But I mean, we have a great history of ridiculing our presidents in editorial cartoons. The thing here is that this went so far over the line. I also wanted to ask you guys about, especially since I think all of you have worked on newspapers. Can you ever imagine the editor coming out publicly immediately and defending the cartoon, and a few days later the publisher coming out and apologizing, and that publisher being Rupert Murdoch of all people? Did anyone take that sincerely as a, you know, that he actually felt it was the wrong thing to do?
Absolutely not. This is Barbara talking. Absolutely not. You know, he actually didn't apologize for it. He apologized if he offended anyone. You know, that's different to me. I'm like, you didn't apologize because you put out something offensive. You apologized if you offended anyone and, you know, didn't extend it to Reverend Sharpton. I'm like, that's just petty. You know, I'm like, what the heck is that? You know, hey, I'm telling you, I live in New York. And brother in D.C., if you still listen, I don't know if you are, I do know what to expect from them. I do know what they are capable of. I do know all of these things. And here it is. You know, and I thank Mr. Media again for allowing us to continue to talk about it, even though it's weeks later, because
it's
not enough time to say, this is not okay with us. This is what we need to change. This is not okay for you to continue to call us apes, monkeys, primates, whatever you want to call us. It's not okay. And we're not going to take it. I mean,
right.
Well, we are going to take it, but we don't want to take it. You know what I'm saying?
This is David Brown from Los Angeles again. And I think that strategically, it was a way of, you know, wanting to get more attention for the paper. I mean, they've done it. They do it time and time again as a way of drawing attention to the paper strategically. And then also I think it reflects on the culture and the mentality of the leadership, you know, at the New York Post.
Mm-hmm. It does. It does.
Oh, I view it as Tim Jackson. I view it as, Rupert Murdoch plays up to the power. Whoever's in power at the time, he wants to be on the good side of them. And I think his apology amounts to little more than just saying that we're cool, let's stay working together type of a thing.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I think what the important thing, too, brought out in this whole situation, once again, with the risk of being redundant, is the power of the media. There's no such thing as the media putting something out there that's just absolutely messageless. Everything that goes out has very great import, especially in the mainstream media, and it has the power to influence behavior. And I think we should not underestimate that.
I agree. And in turn, anything we don't do, anything that's not done, everything that's kept quiet, also is impactful. Because the media is just that powerful. So if we were to sit back and we were not to say anything at all and, you know, say, oh, that's just Whitey doing it again, you know, if we were to take that mentality, then nothing is going to change. So we're not going to be quiet. We are going to say something. This is not right. You don't do this. And, you know, straighten up your act or... You know, I don't know how far they're going to go with the, you know, they're taking it as far as they can take it. I mean, I don't know how far, the FCC, FAA, whatever it's called, you know what I'm saying? They're trying to take it all the way up to make, you know, Murdoch understand that we're not playing. And I, you know, I appreciate that valiant effort, but I don't know if, I don't know how long it's going to be, how far it can go. And because I'm 50 years old and I don't believe it's going to happen, but maybe there are enough young people out there that can still see that, you know, we can make a change.
Let me say this. I'm older than you, and I do know there's a lot of cynicism out there, and I understand the cynicism. But I have seen some great changes.
Yeah.
I mean, changes that I did not expect to see.
In this
lifetime. And I'm optimistic about it, ultimately.
I love it.
Well, Ron from South End. Look, we can still be talking about this. This is going to be another cartoon. I guarantee you it's going to happen again. It's as soon as this dies down, something else is going to come up. And I still say it goes back to a lot of these cartoonists don't really understand black people and the history of black people. And they continue to do this stuff. And I'm quite sure that a lot of them don't even know any black people. They might see them at work or something like that. The media is not all that diverse now.
Yeah.
So it's just as difficult as society sometimes. I've worked in, six or seven newsrooms. And it's still a work in progress.
Right.
Well, this is David from L.A. again, and I would absolutely agree, just to elaborate a little more in that area, is that me and Tim both belong to the American Association of Editorial Cartoonists, and the last conference I went to, I was the only person of color with a group of, I had at least 200 people there.
Sorry about that. I couldn't
make
this that year.
And I remember my first conference I went to in Sacramento, and I was across the room, and several cartoonists called me Tim Jackson because I was him. And I said, I'm the other black cartoonist. And that was kind of a running joke.
Well, I'm a member also, and I met Tim in Washington about 2 years ago, and I was surprised to see we had about six or seven black folks there. Tim? Something like that. Yeah, and I was surprised to see that many. It was really interesting.
The anniversary meeting.
Yeah.
And we had several from Canada that were there too, and a couple overseas cartoonists. So that was really good to see.
Well, I knew Tim was going to be there. You know, I wasn't familiar with the others that were there.
Let me step in for a second because we've got another call. I know this is from the Washington, D.C. area. I'm kind of wondering if it's the same caller or not, different number. Hi, did you have a comment or question for the panel?
Yes, sir. It's me again. I just want to say one thing. I just want to say this now. Y'all didn't listen to what I was saying. I said I was a Democrat. Hell, I even voted for Obama. Now, if you're really upset, let's do something. First of all, you two media guys, tell the ladies what you should do. You bombard the paper with emails. You bombard the guy who wrote the article with emails. Because, man, that's the one thing. Now, y'all can vouch me on this. White folks listened to them letters in the old days, didn't they? They listened to them letters. Hell, they even got a little figure, depending on the circulation, that one letter equals 100 opinions or whatever. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Let's do something besides just saying we're going to not complain, I'm sorry, or disagree. I won't use that word.
Excuse me,
but let's do something.
I don't really think we're complaining.
We're doing something now. That's why we're having this show.
Exactly.
No. After the show, let's go to this. Let's tell everybody who's listening to Blog Talk, your show, who disagrees with that editorial, hit your emails, okay? That's what we do, first of all, or write a letter. Now, see, that's what black folks. That's where we fall off the map, because most of us can't compose a letter worth 2 cents.
Oh,
okay?
Are you stereotyping?
Ma'am, please. Listen again. I'm not a white guy. I'm not being insensitive.
No,
y'all
just
got
saying,
more money
no,
than
I'm not,
I'm living with the real people in the world, in D.C., okay?
And so do I.
Ma'am,
I'm saying you're stereotyping.
I'm on welfare, and I'm not lazy. I lost my time. I mean, I'm living the real world.
Okay, what I'm saying is that
have
the
you
real.
Have you written a letter, sir?
Huh?
Have you written
I'm
a letter?
I'm
Have you written a letter?
Have I done it? No, but that's not my strategy. But I would suggest it because that does make a difference. See, I'm not caught up in it like you, but it's hello? I'm not, for real. I would suggest that you at least do that. At least do that.
Well, do what white folks would do.
That's all I was saying. Let's just do what. Listen, please. That's the only roadmap we have, ma'am. If there's, let's do what. What would they do if they. What, look what they do, sir. Tell them what they do.
Tell them what they do, sir. Talk about it.
Right. What else do they do, sir? What else do they do?
They have TV shows.
You don't know.
Talk about it.
Okay, we can't get to. What else do they. Can't we at least write emails? We don't write letters anymore. But we're not going to really do that.
How do you think the whole thing got put together? I wrote an email.
Not just you, sir. Not you. I mean, generally, you know what I'm saying? Not you. Come on, brother. I ain't knocking you. We all on the same team. But I'm just tired of this. We all get together because we look. I'm broke, but I'm upwardly mobile and thinking. We all get together. We all got like minds. But the masses, it takes the masses, not just us. Now, if we want the masses to get to do what we want, what is our goal? We want respect. We want respect in the white man's eyes, right?
I want respect in the eyes of humanity, of anybody.
Come on, ma'am. That's the only person running is the white. Ain't no black man. Okay, ain't American Indians running humanity, ma'am. Okay, let's just talk to you. That's why we can't do nothing. We can't agree with. Okay.
Lord,
go ahead. Somebody take the floor for me.
I'm sorry. Here's just another thing, and this is something that Mr. Obama has shown and taught and is trying to display and is doing a good job of it, is that it starts small. You get somebody excited in a small room. You take it a step further.
I got one thing to say for that.
I'll
be honest with you.
I'm going to respectfully listen to what you have to say to that, but I also want you to respectfully hear that that's exactly how he got where he is.
I know. I got to answer for you. I'm sure you do. Let's go stop tripping now.
Let's go stop tripping now, folks.
Work with me now. Listen, I'm a crazy brother now. Listen.
The only way things get done
is when good white folks make bad white folks behave. See, we can't kick nobody's butt. We can't outspend nobody. And we don't have the brain power as a group to outsmart.
Oh, my goodness. That sounds
so
bigoted. So
we always get what we want by proxy when we have good white folks say, hey, this is going to stop. That's how we got our freedom. Of course, it's on the backs of us. Don't get me wrong. But, I mean, we didn't actually go to war. See, the white man go to war, really. He goes to war when he really has to. Now, we can't go to war. I'm not talking that revolutionary stuff. Can we just be honest? We got to make good white folks tell them bad white folks, hey, y'all got to stop, okay? That's the real trick.
Sir, I think you're giving your power away. I think that we have more power as people than we give ourselves credit for.
If the white folks hadn't voted for Obama, if every black person who's alive had voted for Obama, he still wouldn't have won.
It took the good white folks in America for him to...
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right, I'm gonna step in here.
This is a very awkward situation
for me as the white guy in the panel.
Come on with the white guy.
All right, Listen, I appreciate our call from D.C. and I've
You know I'm telling the truth. When you go back to your friends and drink your wine tonight, you can see. I heard a brother on there. Boy, he was telling the truth. You know that when you go back with your friends.
I appreciate you calling in, and I think the panel
okay.
did.
I've got another call waiting,
so I want to give them a chance to
get some emails out.
All right.
That's what we'll do.
All right. Thank you very much for calling.
Thank you.
All right. All right. I've got another call here. Hi. Do you have a comment or question for the panel?
Is this from 917?
Yeah. Go ahead. Thank you for waiting.
Okay. I first like to just say. You did a good job, Mr. Media, handling that.
Thank you.
I'm on radio here in New York, so I totally understand how having callers, and we actually have a community radio station, so we can't actually see the telephone number. So when we hear the voice, we learn how to cut people off. Oh, that's the voice. Okay. But
kind of wishing I had the button myself just then.
Right. So my question is for the panel. It's three questions. As an African American who's interested in where we go as an industry, when you guys look at the cartoon industry or slash the graphic novel industry or slash the black comic industry, is there some type of movement to bring young people and continue the tradition? That's one question. Second question is, with the death of newspaper being advertised every day, will there be a movement toward a web-based comic strip or editorial comics, or, you know, like maybe one day Huffington Post or Political will have the daily comic, I don't know. But that was the second question, and that was it.
Okay. May I respond to part of that? There is a movement. In fact, Tim and I participated. We participated in what's called the Black Age of Comics. And I don't know if you've heard of Turtle Only, but he is.
Say that again, ma'am.
Pardon?
Turtle.
Turtle. T-U-R-T-E-L, and his last name is O-N-L-I. He's out of Chicago, but
okay.
He has organized people nationally in the what's called the Black Age of Comics, and he's recruiting younger people. He's promoting younger people, and certainly there are several blogs with a theme. Also, I think YouTube would be a really good avenue for some people to, you know, promote cartoons and what have you. For example, Tim Jackson, Tim, was that on YouTube that you had the work from the our summer panel?
Yes. Oh.
Oh yes, I uploaded the images of our cartoons from that panel.
Right, so I think that there's a whole new frontier out there that we can exploit, and that, by the way, is being exploited on a certain level at this point. But certainly, we can all would appreciate wider readership.
Ron Rogers from South Bend. I can say something about the editorial cartoonist, and I'm not, you know, an expert in something on comics or something like that. But as you all know, editorial cartoonists are dropping like flies. Now some have lost their jobs because of the paper situation. I believe there will still be a print product. It'll be different. Young people getting into this business, they're going to have to think a little bit more out of the box, I think. Here in South Bend, I've done a few different experiments with things. When I came on board in 2005, I had about half a page, the Week in Review type thing. I called it Rewind, and it got great response and it from readers, and it was something different. We also have I started something called Online Sketchbooks. I would go out to events. Obama came in this area several times. I went out there. And I did several color sketches and stuff like that, and we put it online, and we got quite a few hits. Matter of fact, a lot of hits with that. And I've done about 7 or 8 sketchbooks during the campaign last year. I actually went to events with the candidates and stuff like that. Something different. It was sort of like a reporter type thing. But, you know, the situation with editorial cartoons now is that they've got to – think a little bit more, I think, out of the box and be a little bit more creative and think of different ways of doing this stuff. There are going to be more people that are going to lose their jobs. Nobody is safe. I think that there is a future, but it's going to have to be something connecting with an online product and with a print product. And Politico has a cartoonist, and he's really good. He does some good work, and he cranks out a lot of work. And he probably cranks out more work than probably any cartoonist in the country right now on a daily basis. So I think there's a future. But for younger people and people wanting to get it, they're going to have to really think a little different. You just can't think about, I want to go in and I'm going to do that, fill that little square or rectangle spot every day. You got to do something else. That's what I think.
This is David Brown, just to comment on that. I want to reiterate about the Turtle Only and the Black Age of Comics. I met Turtle in 1995 when he was having the annual event in Chicago. And there's a lot of...
You met me too then, but go on.
There's a lot of black creatives that are doing stuff, but don't have the national exposure, and I think the web is going to be an opportunity for them to get more exposure for their work. They do have an annual conference every year, East Coast, out of Philadelphia, and Temple University. So there are some grants.
Temple this year.
This year it's in Chicago, right?
I'm sorry?
No, it's been. ECBAC won't be at Temple this year.
Oh, okay.
I've got it on my. Go ahead and finish what you're saying. I was gonna follow up with what I'm looking at on the internet.
Okay. Well, my point was that there are a lot of artists of color that are doing things, but most of that is happening on a community and small basis. So I haven't really got national exposure for that. But I have a feeling it's going to be a groundswell, and with the internet. That is going to change that in the years to come.
Barbara, I was just going to say that's inspiring to me because coming from working at strictly through the newspapers and then, getting because the syndicate started to, open up a website and that's my only introduction to the internet. And I think that there is many, many possibilities, and what you guys have been saying is very inspirational to me because I'm like, I guess my day has come and gone, drawing on the board and having a pencil and then a pen and, doing the whole thing. But there is a future for it, and nobody has, I shouldn't say nobody, but the extent of what the internet can offer has not been fully realized, and I think that there is a future as well.
But the challenge is...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I just want to make one more comment. I think the challenge is to find a model that's going to be able to generate an income.
Yes.
You can get lots of exposure on the internet,
yes.
But until you find a model or a way that you can actually make a living doing it,
yes.
that's going to be the real challenge.
That's true.
Right.
Okay, I wanted to follow up with the caller on the Black Age of Comics. On Saturday, May 16th, in Philadelphia, there is the East Coast Black Age of Comic Book Convention, and it will be held at Philadelphia Center City on Market Street.
Okay.
Just recently, in February, I attended the Motor City Black Age of Comics, which was their very first time doing that, but it took place in Detroit. In Chicago, so it's yet to happen.
So it's happening slowly but surely. It really is.
Are you guys familiar with GoAnime.com?
GoAnime? I've heard of it.
Oh, no, not anime. My voice is messed up. GoAnimate.
Oh, okay. Go on.
There's a cool site that I was thinking even young people could go. You can upload your drawings or your graphic and actually animate it.
Oh, cool.
Oh, really? You could do that?
Yeah.
Okay. That sounds interesting.
I'm writing it down now. That sounds good.
Can I give myself a shameless plug?
Absolutely.
Please.
I have a video comic book on YouTube, Escape from Ebixia, EBIXIA. So if anyone's interested in seeing some of my more recent work, which is not traditional graphic, I'm moving into a different kind of commentary, so to speak. It's not what I do for the newspaper.
Well, that sounds great.
Have you ever hooked up with the Black Sci-Fi Society?
The Black Sci-Fi Society?
Uh-huh.
No, I haven't. Sounds interesting.
It's a Ning. I'll find the address for you in a second. But they probably would be a great resource.
Do they have a Yahoo group?
Not that I know of. What I will know of them is through the Ning.
Mm-hmm. Fine. Well, I guess getting back to our topic.
hey, that's my job.
That's like bringing home, Tim.
No, I was just going to say, what do the other panelists think of ways that we could work at trying to raise the attention level of what we're doing? Because I guess when I did my cartoon, the joke in the cartoon was, the black guy was saying, it's funny no one asked the African-American cartoonist, and the editorial with a blank look on his face said, black cartoonist?
What can we do to stop the blank stare when we tell people, oh, I draw editorial cartoons, and they look at you like, I didn't know black people could draw type
right.
of expression.
Well, I think what you guys were saying earlier, I'm a social media guy, and also my talk show is technology talk show. So I think one of the things I started doing myself was doing free teleseminars to black organizations and explaining, and I have a list of websites. That's why I came on the show, because I was trying to figure out, I myself didn't know they were black editorial cartoonists.
Mm-hmm.
And so having the show as an archive, giving out this link, making your own podcast, maybe it's before you can get together and make your own podcast, sending it out, that right now there is a great website called Barack 2.0, and it's by two brothers, Brent Leary and David Bullock, and they explain how Barack was able to push to 1 million people on Facebook, excuse me, and using Twitter. And so those are free things that you guys could do if you give people something physical or audio or video to have. They will be passed around virally.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. But one of the issues you have, too, is that even on Facebook, well, Facebook is easier, but you need to make sure, you need to figure out a way to highlight your stuff so that people will know that you're there.
Well, one of the ways, they created a new thing yesterday. They released a feed. And so, like, say, for instance, you're a friend of mine on Facebook. If you put in your feed that you're drawing right now, and here's a link, you would never know before if somebody was going onto that link. But now, I can, just like you do with Twitter, I can actually say, oh, cool, Barbara's going, she's drawing. Well, I'm not sure if I'm talking about a person, but she's mm-hmm. drawing right now. And my people that are part of my network will see your feed that you're drawing right now. Additionally, I just came from a seminar where we talked about the importance of creating a fan page. And so if you have a Facebook, now you really need to create a fan page. And that
fan page?
Yes, F-A-N page.
Right.
And that fan page is almost like a group, but it's passed along virally. And you can see all the different things that people are posting to it. Facebook is really trying to do is this is the first blow across the board to Twitter. And they're really trying to make it a open network, but still keep it closed. And you now have unlimited friends.
So you said this just happened yesterday?
Yes.
Interesting.
This Mr. Media, I want to jump in for a second and say I've been posting to the web chat URLs for each of our guests that I've been able to find quickly. As well as a link to Turtle only. And so if you're listening to the show and you're not in the web chat, you may want to go there. You'll find links that'll take you to some of the work of all of our guests. Oh, and here, I Love Black Women, and the channel that's the name of the person. That's the name of the person. I mean, I love black women too, but I'm a married man, so I could never say that. I just posted
a
link to...
this is ILUV Black Women. I Love Black Women is a sex site. So this is ILUV Black Women.
Okay, all right. But blacksciencefictionsociety.com. Also, I was going to suggest to each of you, just as a matter of course, you should really examine your web presence. Even Tim, who set this up, Tim, you've got a Mac page. I think you need to find something simpler to give out, like, you know, timjacksoncartoonist.com. Just a recommendation from somebody who's on here a lot, drop the .nets and each of you should get yourself a very simple URL that you can give out in a word.
Actually, I do have one, but it's being rebuilt right now, so the Mac is sort of it's taking the place until I get the other one finished.
Okay.
Which is
cartoons.com.
Yeah, I feel like I have to enter the next century that we're in. I'm like, what? You know, Twitter? What is that? You know, so I'm getting there. But that's very good advice, Mr. Media. I appreciate it.
It sure is.
Well, I think the caller makes a good point that, you know, and I think the Obama campaign really proves this. The internet is a great leveler. I mean, everyone's front page, the first page that you hit when you enter someone's website, is as big as Walmart's. I mean, I can have a website as deep and as big as Walmart, because we're all equal on the web. And I think the Obama people figured that out in their campaign.
Early on, they did. Yeah.
Yeah, and I actually think that our earlier caller from Washington, who, you know, he was very excited. there you go. But I think part of what he was trying
Rude.
To say is that, well, no, I don't think that was the case. But I think part of what he was saying is that, you know, it really, there's a great example to be followed there in terms of taking advantage of this great leveler of communications.
But I feel like that's what happened. Like I don't know if it was Tim that said it, but I got the message. I'm a part of the National Association of Black Journalists on the Yahoo group. I'm not a journalist. I don't consider myself a journalist, but I belong to the group. And I got the immediate information that way. I live in Harlem. I'm about 10 blocks away from Al Sharpton's people. They hadn't heard about it. I called over to the Action Network and talked to somebody I know there. And they, you know, so physically, I got the information through the web first and passed it along virally with a phone call and emailed other people. So I think it worked. And I wanted to also, I don't know if we're going to get to that question, somebody or comment somebody raised, is there going to be more cartoons, or what will we do with other cartoons, and are there going to be more cartoons?
Well, I think that there will always be that happening, because even I have a website of my own called Pioneering Cartoonists of Color, where I try to highlight people who came before us in the, you know, early 1900s, the 1930s, 40s, and 50s. And as far as, you know, editorial cartoonists go, I have come across information in the last few years that there was a woman in 1921 who drew an editorial cartoon. And it's just been really wonderful to let the world know that, because information about her is just unknown to everyone, even black cartoonists.
You're doing a fantastic job. I just need to say that right now in front of everyone. You're doing a fantastic
job.
Thank you.
I wanted to just add to that I think that as cartoonists, African-American cartoonists, I think we all need to be ambassadors for the craft and do whatever we can to promote and get the word out there that we exist. I just got back from University of Akron and did a keynote speaking address at a conference on race and politics. And I'm going to be speaking at the Black Expo here in Los Angeles in May. And so in terms of just getting exposure to what I'm doing, to especially the young people in the community, to know that that's a career track, and using my cartoons to educate and inspire, you know, the people that are in the community.
I think that's great.
Barbara
talking again just for a second, and I just want to say that I come from a dynasty of black cartoonists, which is, like, unheard of, but my father was one of the pioneers in the 60s Brumsick Brandon Jr., who created Luther comic strip.
I remember reading your father's cartoons.
For me to come up, you know, and also be a cartoonist, you know, is kind of incredible. You know what I mean? It's like in some ways I kind of see it as, oh, yeah, that seemed like a logical progression. But for many people it is not. So it's great to be able to encourage young folks to get out there, and if that's a way, and it's seemingly increasingly a way to get your perspective out there through visual and, you know, verbal and, all, you know, all these other ways of doing it. But if you could draw something and you could put it down, and it's very nice for me to be a part of inspiring young folks to know that that is a way to have your voice heard. And we all have voices. We all have opinions, and we all can come out and speak. And we don't know how we're all going to get paid, but
that's the challenge.
We know that we have opinions and we have a way of presenting them.
Actually, I think you guys have so much of wealth of information. Maybe we can exchange email addresses, but there's a group online. There's two, three groups online that would definitely be willing to help you guys out with the speaking stuff, because one of them is a friend of mine, Dainty Lee. He owns ConnectPlatform.com, which is blackceos.com. He has like 30 websites. One of them is blackspeakers.com,
and they get people speaking assignments. Then there's a group of black publicists that are, you know, really working hard also to get people to speak. So, I mean, you have a different, whole different spin on things that people haven't really heard.
Right.
So, especially in this time, you guys could probably make, you know, not maybe not a whole bunch of money, but at least, you know, you get like probably $2,500 or $5,000.
Sounds excellent to me.
Ron Rogers.
Later.
From South Bend. I want to make a point about this whole thing about criticizing the cartoons and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. We are criticized every day just about. You know, everybody's not going to like what we do. But what we try to do is to be fair. And I don't go in trying to offend anybody. That's not my job. I do the best I can, okay? But the cartoon with the post was just over the line. And there are others out there floating around that I consider over the line.
Right.
But there's going to be controversy with cartoons' editorial opinion. My time here in South Bend, I've offended the police department. I've offended the mayor. And it was really a big blowback. I've even offended a Ku Klux Klan. They called and complained to my editor. I mean, you know. And
wow.
Yeah. Klansman called up, and he was pretty upset. But my point, my point is that at least I can speak for myself, is that I don't go in looking to do that, and. I'm working with a great group of people that if they saw me going that far, even hitting in that direction, they'd stop me.
That's
and
right.
We're going to continue to be criticized. I did something that ran today that a lot of people are upset about. Okay, that's part of the territory. But it's nothing like what appeared in the Post, what appeared in Asheville, in a few other papers, and cartoonists are going to always offend somebody in some kind of way. But what I'm saying is, what happened at the New York Post and other papers with this racial thing is just really over the line, and that's not what we should be about as cartoonists.
I agree with you, I just want to just throw in again. It's Barbara again talking, but. I just want to throw in again, is that what also comes with the idea of you having a venue or for people to see comes responsibility.
Right.
And it's like, and that's not a bad word. Responsibility is fine. It's good. And you need to know what is over the line and what is not. And perhaps if you don't know what's over the line, then your editor should know. And if your editor doesn't know what's over the line, then the publisher for sure should know. And if all these folks in the row are sitting in a place where they think it's okay to equate black folks, certainly our president, with a chimpanzee, is wrong. And they should know that, and shame on them is all I have to say.
The only problem with that is that this is New York, and we've had this problem since Giuliani was mayor, and they have not...
Even before.
I mean, yeah, when Dinkins was mayor, that's actually absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like sort of torn because I'm like, well, the Post did worse things. They had done worse. They had worse articles. They had done worse. And I understand it's assassination of our president, but it's sort of par for the course for the Post. And I feel like it did need to be addressed, but they've definitely done and said much worse things about people that have been killed. And so it's sort of like, do we pick and choose which battles? You know, right now we're responding to everything that comes out. But where are we at 2 years from now? And are we exhausted emotionally, mentally? And you know, are we prepared?
Well, it's been 400 years, hasn't it? I feel like it's been many generations of trying to deal with this. And like I said earlier, I am touched that the NAACP is standing up. I mean, they've been at this for so long, you know. Everybody has been at this so long, and to point it out and say, hey, we don't want this. We don't appreciate this. We don't want you to keep we understand that that's where you're coming from. You know, just to throw my comic strip name in there. But we understand what that's where you're coming from, but we don't accept it. We don't think it's right. And I think it's okay. I think it's okay to say it. I think it's okay to keep saying it. And I think it's okay to not accept it from the Post. And, you know, hey, more power to you, Al. I'm with you. We don't need to buy the Post.
Well, this is Tim. Often I've heard certain cartoonists make the comment that they have to be an equal opportunity offender, and I don't really go along with that because I don't think it's my point to offend anybody. I think it's my point to try to make them think and make them understand, or at least, if nothing else, see it from my point of view. But if they're offended by it, that's one thing. But I don't go out intentionally planning a cartoon that's going to upset people just because it's going to get me some press. That's just
That's right, Tim. I agree. I mean, I mean, to do a joke, I mean, somebody is the butt of the joke. I mean, that's the essence of what a joke is. Somebody somewhere is the butt of the joke. But to take it to a level where it's just wrong, you need to understand that and know that and not do that and be responsible. And let's lift everybody up a little bit. No, we don't. This is we did it in the past. We did it. It's been accepted all these years, but we don't want to take it anymore. You know, and maybe our outcry this time is not going to be enough, and they're going to say, "Oh, these folks are still rattling on about the same old thing. When are they going to keep it quiet?" You know what? We're never going to keep it quiet. We're going to say something. We're going to say something each time. And I thank you, Mr. Media, for letting us say something weeks later, you know, because, no, we haven't forgotten it. We do know that it happened, and we do not appreciate it. So I just think it's nice to have a forum to be able to say that it's not right. It's not right, and you know better. You should know better. If you don't know better, you need to know better.
Right. This is Dr. Yaounde Olu again. I agree with you 100%. I've received my share of letters as well. At the Crusader, and interestingly, I've been very surprised usually by which cartoons have elicited the greatest responses. I mean, I never set out to insult anyone or whatever, and but the cartoon in the Post was just absolutely mean-spirited, and if nothing else, it was an extremely poor taste. And I think that what we're doing now is just a really good. It's going a long way in terms of just rebutting that whole idea, that whole notion. You know, the fact that Mr. Media, you're giving us this forum, and Tim, you pulled this all together. I think it's just great. It's putting ideas out there that some people may not have ever even thought about or heard about or heard ever.
Well, I very much appreciate everyone here. Participating. I kept you all going about 20 minutes longer than I said that I would. I hope that was okay. I also appreciate that you made my job easy, and I hope that having a bit of a forum will help. This for anyone who's been listening and came in late to the show, in about 10, 12 minutes, give it a couple minutes, and the show will be archived, and you'll be able to come back here and listen to it at any time. I also encourage you, come back to the page and you can grab the audio player and you can put it on your own website and send people to it, you know, if you want them to hear the message here. I tell you what, why don't we go through everybody, if you want to give a plug or a shout to any website or your employer to encourage that. Why don't we do that, and then I think we'll wrap it up there. Let's start with our ringleader, Tim Jackson.
Well, like I said, I work with the Chicago Defender here in Chicago, and I would be remiss not to mention the other papers. There's the Madison Times in Wisconsin, the Capital Outlook in Tallahassee, Cincinnati Herald, the Dayton Defender in Ohio, and the Northern Kentucky Herald, and most recently, Urban Life Northwest in Seattle has started carrying some of my less than political cartoons, but cartoons all the same.
Hmm.
I'd like to invite people to check me out on the web, on YouTube. There are several places there. And, of course, there is my website, Pioneering Cartoonists of Color, which can be found at web.mac.com/Tim_Jackson.
All right. Happy to do that. And let's see. Dr. Olu, is there anything you want to mention, anywhere you want to send people?
Sure. I work for the Chicago and Gary Crusader newspapers, and we're online every week. And every week you can go to the Chicago Crusader or the Gary Crusader, and you can see the editorial and editorial cartoon. It's right there. And also, and that would be www.chicagocrusader.com. And also, I mentioned earlier my video comic book on YouTube, Escape from Ibixia. So if you get a chance to check that out, I'd appreciate feedback.
All right, and I did.
Pardon.
My pleasure. And I did put the link to that YouTube comic in the web chat, so people could just link on it, and it'll take them right to it.
Great.
So thank you for that. And David Brown, let's get you in here. You you came in late, so we'll...
Came in a little late, yeah. Yeah. David G. Brown, I work for the Los Angeles Sentinel newspaper. My cartoons appear on the Los Angeles Sentinel website, losangelessentinel.net. I also have my website, which is davidgbrown.net. And you can also find me at the American Association of Editor Cartoonists website. Also, I'd like to give a plug for my book. I just won an Image Award for my book. It's called Barack, Race, and the Media, Drawing My Own Conclusions. And you can find it on Amazon.
Oh, okay. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And Barbara Brandon Croft, what about you? What do you want to get out there?
Well, I want to shout out to my mom and dad. No, I do. Actually, I do.
All right.
I'm just happy to be a part of this whole forum, and I'm happy. I'm very honored to be a part of this whole the guest that you put together, Tim. And I'm happy to be a part of it. My story is where I'm coming from. I had a comic strip nationally syndicated with Universal Press Syndicate for 13 years, and I'm really proud of that. It's now defunct. But I still have many opinions, as you can tell, and I'm still working in the media, so I haven't left. I'm just not getting paid to do my comic strip anymore, but that's cool, you know. And but no, a shout out to my dad who did Luther for so many years and who would have been a part of this, and I'm sure he's going to listen in at some point. But he wasn't feeling up to it to doing it tonight. But shout out to my mom and dad, and that's it. That's all I have to say.
All right. Get the book.
Oh.
Get the book.
You mean Where I'm Coming From book or our book?
Our book.
That we're working on.
Yes.
You talk.
I already have my talk. Go ahead.
No, Tim and I are working on putting together a book about the history of black cartoonists in newspapers. And we're talking from the beginning of when newspapers arrived in America and until present. And it's unfortunate that we can't include everybody. But there's so many black cartoonists that are animators and this and everything else, including my dad, who was also an animator. But what we're putting together is a book about the history of black cartoonists in newspapers.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
Good. When that comes out, you'll have to come back on the show and talk about that, too.
That would be great. That would be great.
All right. And finally, not forgotten, Ron Rogers, the South Bend Tribune.
Okay. Well, you can see my work on southbendtribune.com, the paper's website. And we have a contest, a new cartoon every 2 weeks called Caption This on the Sunday paper, and it's also online. And anybody can send in a caption, and the winning caption gets the original cartoon, which is done in a watercolor. It's very popular here in South Bend. We've also had some out-of-state winners. My work can also be seen on the American Association of Editorial Cartoonists website.
Excellent.
Terrific. Wow. Well, and I want to thank everybody, and I think we've had a lot of people who – may have been new to Mr. Media tonight. I want to invite you to come back. Come back to blogtalkradio.com/mrmedia or mrmedia.com, and maybe you'll find some other shows that will interest you. Panel, you were terrific. You made my life very easy tonight. I want to thank everybody. for coming on, and hopefully it was useful, and people will enjoy listening to the archive of this in the future.
And we
thank
you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
All right.
Have a great weekend, everybody.
Okay. Good night.
All right.
Good night. Bye-bye.
And, of course, folks, for more comics-related interviews, you can surf over to our main website. That's mrmedia.com, mrmedia.com, where, among other things, you can listen to my earlier conversation with Pulitzer Prize-winning editorial cartoonist Clay Bennett and many daily comic strip artists and comic book artists as well and writers. And please think about writing an online review of Mr. Media. Cast a vote for Mr. Media or mark Mr. Media as one of your favorites. Whether you listen on Blog Talk Radio, Pointer Online, Digital Journal, Podcast Pickle, Vox, Folio, Mediafly, Podfeed.net, Blueberry, Zencast, or Audio. You get the idea. You can find Mr. Media pretty much anywhere you can find podcasts. And subscribe to Mr. Media on iTunes, and you'll never miss a show. Just search Mr. Media Interviews from within iTunes and subscribe for free. You can also listen with a piece of string and a tin can in many locations. If you've got an idea for a guest, email me directly at bob@andelman.com. That's A-N-D-E-L-M-A-N. You can also follow me on Facebook or on Twitter, www.twitter.com/andelman. Thanks so much for joining us today. I always appreciate when you give up a little piece of your day to spend it with us. Come on back real soon.